Astor Piazzolla is an Argentinian composer who was at the forefront of the tango revival. His music was featured in the Broadway hit Tango Argentina, but he is in no way a revivalist. In fact, he's the father of the new tango. The new tango is a hybrid of traditional tango, classical music, jazz, and rock. When Piazzolla started performing his new tangos in the mid-50s, tango traditionalists in his country acted as if he had committed treason. They verbally and physically attacked him. This is an example of the music that provoked such a strong reaction. It's from his album Zero Hour, which introduced him to American audiences. Astor Piazzolla is featured on bandoneon. It's an accordion-like instrument, but instead of a keyboard on one side, there are buttons on both sides. Astor Piazzolla has performed in concert halls around the world, and he's collaborated with writer Jorge Luis Borges, filmmaker Jean Moreau, and jazz musicians Jerry Mulligan and Gary Burton. When Piazzolla was 3 years old, he moved with his parents from Argentina to New York, where he lived until he was a teenager. He returned to Argentina in 1937. He composed for the Buenos Aires Philharmonic Orchestra and performed with tango groups. He told me that it was in 1954 that he first performed his new tangos. I asked him about the state of the traditional tango in Argentina at that time.
It was going out. I mean, there was a very big invasion of Elvis Presley and rock music and boleros from Mexico. Bill Haley was invading also Argentina with his music. And this, the young Argentinians, 15, 16, the teenagers of my country, started listening to this more exciting music and not that boring tango that they have been playing during 50 or 60 years in Argentina. So the young people wanted more electricity in their veins, and they chose American music. And then after they chose English music. And today that's how the people are divided in my country, with English and American music. And the old people, 50 years up, like tango. They still like the old-fashioned tango. But the new tango, the one I play, fortunately, it's the people of rock and roll who love my music, the people who like modern jazz, or the people who like to listen to Bela Bartok or Stravinsky. That's the people who follow my music.
Now, you got the nickname the Assassin of the Tango when you started playing the new tango. Were there actually threats against you by people who were very upset with you for having taken the traditional tango and made something else of it?
Yes. The telephones, menaces, and my family and me, and they used to call me on the phone and say they would wait for me in the streets, and they would give me a beating. Why? Just because I changed the tango. But I didn't change the tango. What I changed is the way of playing and the way of writing. I mean, I gave it a new dimension, harmonically speaking, and with rhythmically speaking, the way I arranged it. I mean, nobody was interested in changing tango because they didn't have the condition to do it.
So you had people who were literally calling you up and threatening on the telephone, trying to pick fights with you because of your new tango music. Why do you think that your music caused such a violent reaction? I mean, people like music, they dislike music, but they don't necessarily want to try to kill the composer of the music they dislike.
Number one, the people couldn't dance with my music. The dancers of tango hated me. They detested Astor Piazzolla. You can't dance with Astor Piazzolla. The singers of Argentina detested me. They hated my music because it wasn't singing music. Nobody sang my music. So I was playing instrumental music during 5 or 6 years, and really it was a flop. I had to leave Argentina, and it was in 1958 that I had to abandon this idea of being a musician in my own country. I came to another. This was the second time. I was living in 1924 in New York till 1937, nearly 14 years when I was a boy. Then I came back in 1958, and it's very strange. We went together with Lalo Schifrin. We came to New York, and Lalo Schifrin went to the sky, and I went to hell directly because nobody loved my music, nobody understood my music, and nobody wanted me to record. Even if I made one stupid record, I call it stupid because it was good for nothing. When you do what the other people want, I think it always is stupid.
Well, I want to talk with you more about your music, but let's listen to some of your music first. My guest is Astor Piazzolla, the performer, composer who invented what's now called New Tango. And you have a new record out that features a concerto that you wrote for bandolian, which is your instrument. And the conductor is Lalo Schifrin, who you just mentioned. He's conducting the Orchestra of St. Luke's. I want to play an excerpt of the presto, the last movement of this concerto. Tell us a little bit about it and about writing a concerto for bandolian and orchestra.
Well, there's nothing written. There's no composer in the world that wrote a concerto for bandolian. So in 1979, I was the first one to compose a concerto for bandolian. And then I wrote another concerto, the three tangos, 1 year after. It was such a great success with the people seeing that their instrument, the native instrument of Argentina, the bandolian, who only it's played in tango orchestras, was now performing in concert halls. So that was very important for me.
Okay, let's listen to the presto, the final movement from the Concerto for Bandolian that my guest Astor Piazzolla composed, just recorded with conductor Lalo Schifrin. It's an excerpt from the final movement of Astor Piazzolla's new Concerto for Bandolian, which was just released on Nonesuch Records with conductor Lalo Schifrin. My guest is Argentinian tango composer Astor Piazzolla, the father of the new tango. That's really wonderful music. I want to talk about growing up in New York, it's really ironic in a way that the person who furthered the tradition of the Argentinian tango actually spent most of his childhood growing up in New York City. Your parents moved with you when you were three to New York. Why did they want to leave Argentina?
Well, my father, he was a dreamer, like his father. My grandfather was a dreamer. He was a sailor. He sailed from Italy, from the north of Italy in the Adriatic, the city of Trani. They came to Mar del Plata, where we live 400 kilometers south of Buenos Aires. And that's where nearly all Italian families live in Argentina, in this port of Mar del Plata. So my grandfather was a dreamer and a sailor. My father was a dreamer, and I continued to be a dreamer also. And that's why we came to New York. My father, my mother, and I am the only son in the family. And the three of us came to New York in 1923. And nearly 14 years, I went to school here. I know more the Star Spangled Banner than my my own hymn from Argentina.
But what about tangos? Did you hear many tangos when you were growing up?
Well, I was born playing John Sebastian Bach on the bandoneon because it sounds more like an organ as the instrument. My teacher, I had a very important piano concert player. His name was Bela Wilda. He was Hungarian, and he taught me to play old classical music and the bandoneon. I never played a tango when I was small.
Did you hate tango like a lot of children growing up hate their parents' music?
Well, I hated to do what my father wanted, but my father suddenly started loving John Sebastian Bach, and he was next to me. He was my friend. He was the one who insisted that I should play classical music. He loved more that his son would be a classical musician than a popular tango musician.
Did you start playing tangos at all when you were in New York?
I started in 1934, yes, with Carlos Gardel. He was a very important singer from Argentina. He came to New York he made three films in New York and Long Island with John Reinhardt as a director. And I played the music in the tango music in the film and while he was singing. And that's how I started my career as a tango musician.
That was just a couple of years after that you moved back to Argentina, right?
In 1937, before the war, my father got scared and we went all back to Argentina. And I started my musical career when I was 18 years old, between 17 and 18 years old in the city of Buenos Aires. I left Mar del Plata. And I started with the best orchestras. That's when I received my first crash as a tango musician. I started all of a sudden to love tango, and all the education, the classical education I had. Imagine, I used to play Rhapsody in Blue of Gershwin on the bandoneon. I used to play Sophisticated Lady of Ellington, and the people used to look at me as if I was a Martian. I mean, you can never find a bandoneon player in Argentina. I don't know if today if someone exists who could play the Rhapsody in Blue.
You also studied piano, right?
Yes, I studied piano and composition. I studied everything in music. But the most tremendous of all is tango world. I mean, the tango people are people that are born and live and die only for tango. They are not interested in other manifestations of music or painting or theater. And my teacher, my musical teacher in Buenos Aires, who was Alberto Ginastera, he always told me that it's not only music you must learn in this world. You have to know whom are the painters, the poets, all the writers, and you must go to the theater and see plays. And that's how I was... I grew like that.
I want to talk with you more about your life and your music, but first we're going to take a short break. Composer and bandoneon player Astor Piazzolla is my guest, and he's an Argentinian composer, the founder of what's called New Tango. We'll hear more of his music and talk more after this break. This is Fresh Air. Argentinian composer Astor Piazzolla is my guest, the founder of the New Tango. So you studied with Ginastera, and you also went to Paris to study with Nadia Boulanger. And many great composers have wonderful stories about how Boulanger changed their lives and changed their music. You have a story like that, too.
When I arrived to Paris in 1954 with all my music, I thought I was a genius because I wrote 20 symphonies and 20 sonatas and so many chamber music pieces. And all of a sudden, Nadia Boulanger in one afternoon in 3 or 4 hours, looks all over my music and says, this is good for nothing. Throw it away because I can't find Astor Piazzolla. And she wanted to know which is my real profession as a musician. I was very ashamed to tell her that I played in a nightclub. In those moments, I was playing in a cabaret, not a nightclub. It's too refined to say a nightclub. It was a cabaret in Buenos Aires. I played there, and I studied at the same time. And she says, you play tango. Oh, that's beautiful. I love tango. And now she's going to ask me if I play piano or what I play. And I have to tell her I play bandoneon. It's worse. So I told her, look, I don't play piano. I'm not a pianist. I'm a very bad pianist. I play bandoneon. Oh, bandoneon, that's beautiful. I love that instrument. I can hear that in Kurt Weill's music, and I can hear that also in Boris Blacher, and all famous German composers use the bandoneon in symphonic orchestras. So she gave me this strength to believe in myself. She was like my second mother. She spoke to me like my mother never spoke to me. She taught me to believe in myself. And since that moment, I started believing in myself and in tango music also, above all.
So you kind of really needed her permission to write in your own voice.
Yes, I needed her permission. She was the only one. I needed somebody that was superior. And she was really superior to everybody. And she loved my music. She loved my tango music. She heard it. And she said, this is Astor Piazzolla. Please, don't ever leave it.
You know, tango is, at least to us Americans, associated with, horror houses and clubs and things like that. Most, I don't know so what about clubs, but...
You forgot Hernando's Hideaway.
Right, sure. That's right. But did you go through a period like that when you were in Argentina before you started composing the new tangos and giving recitals as opposed to playing for dancers? Well, did you go through a period of playing in whorehouses at all?
Well, yes, I played. I'm a normal man. I mean, I played in whorehouses since I was 18. I played when I was 45. I played, that was the last one, in 1963 or 64. But one day, only 2 days, I mean, I wasn't employed as a musician to play in whorehouses or bordels. I just played those 2 days, and it was something I really didn't know, but I had much fun because I was considered as a very exponent of a cultural music in Argentina, and all of a sudden I found myself playing in a whorehouse. So that was very funny for me.
You know, the tango is also a dance associated with this real macho ethic. Is that true? I mean, you've actually play tangos, you're not looking at it at a distance. Is it really associated with a very macho style?
Yes, it's a way of making love. That's I found out of this action when I was only 18 or 19 years old. I was seeing the people dancing when I was playing not with my orchestra, with other orchestras I used to play with. And I used to see how they were so compenetrated of what they were dancing. They danced with their eyes closed as if they were dreaming. It was the man and the woman at the same time. And at the same time, they made love. And it was so strange. I was so young, and I was looking at this as discovering something I never saw in my life.
Is there a mystique about the sexual prowess of tango musicians?
Well, I don't know. It could be, but I discovered that something I never knew, that my music was sensual music. It was sexual. I never intended to do sensual music, but my only intention was to write the music I feel, that I think it's very religious, it's very melancholic, it's sad, it could be very sophisticated, it could be very aggressive, it's very revolutionary. I mean, It's contemporary popular music, and it has a little of everything. The only thing that my music doesn't have is the word happy. There's no happiness.
That's an interesting point. Why isn't there?
Because I think the happiness, we, the musicians, have happiness when we play it. We love to play that way. We love to be melancholic. We love to be religious. And that's the way we get happy, because that's the lesson I learned, that the only thing that's important on a stage is to see a musician happy. If you're not happy, that means you don't like what you're playing.
Well, I want to play an excerpt from the album that introduced you to many Americans a couple of years ago. The album is called Zero Hour, and it's on the American Clave record. And this is another composition of yours. This is called Concerto for Quintet. And let's listen. Music from Astor Piazzolla's album Zero Hour, which was released a couple of years ago on the American Clave record. And Astor Piazzolla is an Argentinian composer, the founder of the New Tango. That's a wonderful piece. Are you still hated by older people in Argentina for what you've done for the tango? Has that all died down, or are you still considered by many to be the assassin of the tango?
Well, we signed a peace project 10 days ago. It was my idea. I don't want to get into it. Maybe it's because I'm feeling old, that I am no longer a warrior.
I don't really understand what kind of... I've never heard of a musical peace treaty before that people literally signed.
Well, this is a way of saying it wasn't... We didn't sign...
It's not a document that you got together and signed.
I mean... It's a pact.
It's a truce.
There was a war between them and me during 35 years. And I just said, let's... No more shooting the words, criticizing them and them criticizing me. Let's forget that, please. And I don't want the tango people to be separated. So I just called them, and they, in 1.5 hour, I had 200 musicians and singers and dancers and orchestra leaders waiting for me to give a big hug and say, Astor Piazzolla, thank you for all you did, and thank you for this idea to be all together and helping the music of tango.
Well, let's face it, in a way, I mean, the New Tango departs from the traditional tango, but your work is at the forefront of a tango revival, so you're really spreading tango around the world.
Yes, but there's another tango that is spreading around the world. It's the dance of tango that I adore, really. But it's not my job to play that music.
Oh, no, let's stop here a second. Now, obviously, you really love the tango that you've departed from, right?
Yeah, I love to see it. I feel it, but I don't...
You don't want to play it.
I don't play because it's old-fashioned. I mean, I play what's 88 and not what's 48.
Let me ask you, are there any American real schlocky interpretations of tangos that you get a real kick out of now?
Well, I think that not only Americans, I think the fault is of the Europeans, the Germans and the French and the Italians, who had an idea idea of what really tango was. And that spread that came to our United States, and when Louis Armstrong used to play I Get Ideas, and when other musicians played Hernando's Hideaway, that was really a kick in the liver when I heard Hernando's Hideaway. That was terrible. And the Argentines were furious because that was making fun of what really was our tango was. I mean, our tango is something completely different. I insist, when somebody really knows how to dance, and when they dance the tango profoundly as they feel it, you can see that it's like making love. I mean, it's as if nobody was looking at them. And it's something you'd really love. That's why they dance that way.
So when you hear Hernando's Hideaway now, do you laugh or do you get angry?
I get sick.
You get sick still.
I see. I get sick yet.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, it's been very nice. Thank you.
Astor Piazzolla is an Argentinian composer and bandoneon player. He's the founder of the New Tango. His most recent recording is Concerto for Bandoneon on Nonesuch Records. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.